presented to us in this odd little scene. We learn well and we live better from this story when we consider two phrases. Here are the two phrases I want to present to you this morning. Hear and do. Hear, then do. Hear and do. This scene is about hearing and doing. We meet two sisters. We meet one who likes to hear and one who likes to do. Martha likes to do. She wants to extend hospitality to Jesus and whoever is with him. People have to be comfortable. People have to eat and drink. Somebody has to do all this work of hospitality, and Martha is the woman for the job. She is busy about her business and busyness. But Martha is frustrated. She's running around doing anything and everything, and she sees her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus doing nothing but listening to his teaching. And Martha complains to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." What struggles might we see in Martha's words? First, we might see distraction. That word is in this text. The word translated distracted means to be dragged away. That's the nature of distraction, isn't it? You are dragged away to do something else when you should be doing something. You should be working on your taxes, but you are dragged away to scroll through social media. You should be repairing your car, but you're dragged away by fussing with something else in your workshop. You should be cooking a meal, but you are dragged away by fighting children. Martha is distracted by her doing. Next, I think we see pride. Martha sees what she is doing, observes what Mary is doing, and believes she is doing what she should be doing while Mary is not doing what she should be doing. She is so confident in her correctness that she drags Jesus into the situation. Now, Philip Ryken believes Martha's pride leads her to self-pity. Do you realize that pride and self-pity are cousins? Pride and self-pity are cousins. When you're proud, you begin to feel sorry for yourself because you don't think people are treating you the way you should be treated. Oh, I deserve this role in this play. I deserve this promotion in the workplace. I deserve this position in the church. And when I don't get what I want, I pout. My heart is filled with pride, and my pride turns into self-pity. Martha seems to have pride, leading to self-pity. Third, we see anxiety. This is not the unavoidable and understandable anxiety of living in a world of sin and sorrow. No, this is Martha's self-imposed stress. Jesus says Martha is anxious and troubled about many things. Perhaps she is rightly concerned about being a good hostess, but she seems to be trying to do too much. It's like when you want to have somebody over to your house and you decide everything has to be not only decent, but perfect. Pretty soon you're fussing and you're fuming about all sorts of things, big and small issues, and you're probably frustrating everybody around you. Martha is anxious and troubled about many things. Distraction, pride, and anxiety. Martha wants to serve Jesus, but these troubles fill her heart and flow into this scene. The British pastor Charles Spurgeon said this about Martha: her fault was not that she served. The condition of a servant well becomes every Christian. Her fault was that she grew cumbered with much serving so that she forgot Jesus and remembered only the service. You want to serve Jesus or serve others? Good. But then your want becomes must, and your must becomes, I must do it this way. And you do, and you do, and you do, and you forget why you're doing it. Or maybe your becoming becomes more about your doing and you than anybody else. You become distracted from other good opportunities in the situation. You become proud toward others who don't do everything the way you do. You become anxious about your service. This is Martha, who likes to do. And then there's Mary. She likes to hear. Now, this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is the Mary who joins her sister Martha in seeing their brother Lazarus raised from the dead in the Gospel of John. And soon after Lazarus rises from the grave, this is the Mary who anoints Jesus for his burial. So while Martha fusses and fumes, Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens to his teaching. Now this scene shows us something about Jesus. Because in Jewish culture, women generally weren't able to do this. Some rabbis didn't let women listen to teaching about the law. Others let women listen and learn a little, but they would never let a woman sit at the feet of a rabbi and learn without distraction. This scene also shows us something about Mary, doesn't it? In Jewish culture, she would be expected to do exactly what Martha is doing. Instead, she reveals her heart toward Jesus with her actions toward Jesus. She wants to sit in and learn from him because she knows he has the words of life. So which is better? Who is better? Oh, it's easy to say Mary is better. But that's not quite what Jesus says to Martha. Jesus says Mary has chosen the good portion. The word translated portion often refers to a meal. Mary has chosen to sit and eat a spiritual meal at Jesus' feet, and this is good. And yet there's nothing wrong with Martha's portion. She has chosen to provide a physical meal. Surely Jesus could use a physical meal. Jesus doesn't stop Martha from doing what she is doing. He simply commends Mary for what she is doing. How could we think Martha's service is a problem? Luke places this story right after the parable of the neighbor, where he commends service and mercy. We can compare, but it's not a competition. Imagine a common scene in a church like ours. A church gathering is over, and it's time to clean up, and some people are toiling while other people are talking. You're hauling tables, and you're moving chairs, and you see three people over in the corner deep in a conversation. What's your reaction? You might say, get over here and help. Perhaps Martha would say something like this, but Jesus would say no. It's good to be hauling tables and moving chairs. Somebody has to do it. But it's also helpful and good to engage in a conversation about our life together. It's not a competition. We can't say one activity is better than the other. Both are good. Martha and Mary are both doing good here. And yet, I believe this scene offers us a wise order for our hearing and doing. Hear and do. But we need to learn and live this as well. Hear, then do. Hear, then do.
When my brain is winding down for the evening, I like to play a few word games, and one of the games is a game you probably play, some of you at least, Wordle. If you're not familiar with Wordle, it's a simple game. You have six chances to guess a five-letter word. If you guess the right letter in the right place, the background behind the letter turns green, and if you guess the right letter but in the wrong place, the background behind the letter turns yellow. And sometimes I'm sitting there and I have several of the right letters, but they're all in the wrong order, and I have a hard time getting all those yellow letters into the right order. I think the same is true of our journey with Jesus. It can be challenging to get the hearing and the doing in the right order. We should be people who hear, then do. Hear Jesus. What does it mean to hear Jesus? Oh, let me give you two words. When you're hearing Jesus, you're submitting to Jesus. He's the teacher, you're the student. By sitting at his feet, you are declaring him to not only be Savior, but Lord. When you listen to any teacher, you're engaging in a form of submission. You're letting them talk to you about something, and yet with a sinful human teacher, you're always evaluating whether or not their teaching makes sense. Most sinful teachers offer a combination of wisdom and foolishness, but not so with Jesus. Mary does not sit at the feet of Jesus and decide which parts of his teaching are right and which parts of his teaching are wrong. When you're hearing Jesus, you're submitting to everything he says. When you're hearing Jesus, you're also depending on Jesus. If you could navigate through life on your own, you wouldn't need to hear Jesus. But you know you need his wisdom and his encouragement and his strength and his help. He is all pure and all knowing and all wise, and you are not, because he is your creator and your redeemer. He has insight into the nature of this world and into the nature of your life that you could never produce for yourself. He has chosen to reveal himself to you. You realize his words are far better than anything anyone else can offer you. And so when you depend on Jesus, you know you need this greatest person to meet you in your greatest need every day and in every way. You see, you hear Jesus before you do for Jesus, because you know that when you hear Jesus well, you do for Jesus well. If you don't hear Jesus, you may become distracted and proud and anxious, even if you're doing exactly what Jesus wants you to do. You sit at the feet of Jesus because you want him to shape your heart and to shape your life so that when you arise and get to work, your service will please him and bless others. Are you hearing Jesus? You know, in the church, we often talk about the spiritual disciplines. We discuss private spiritual disciplines like reading the Word and praying. We talk about public spiritual disciplines like worship and discipleship and fellowship. We do this because we believe these are essential building blocks for a lifetime of hearing Jesus. You have to be intentional about your hearing. You have to be intentional about your hearing because we live in a world of distraction and action. You have your devices to distract you, and you have so much that you can do. And so you have to say, before I hear anything else, I will hear from Jesus. I will let him speak to me in his word. I will speak to him and listen to him in prayer. I will prioritize the collective habits of worship and fellowship and discipleship. I'll do this for myself, and I will encourage this for my family and my friends. I often recall this wise Jewish saying, a lake cannot give water and never be refilled.
A field cannot grow grain and never lie fallow. A person cannot work and never be refreshed. The lake becomes a dry bed, the field barren ground, and the person a slave. Mary chose the good portion because while we know she would certainly need to serve, she needed to be refilled and refreshed before she could do so. And the same is true of all of us. Let me change the analogy. You would never intentionally let your car run out of gas. No matter where you have to go, no matter how much you have to pay, you do what you have to do to make sure your car contains the gas it needs. You never want the gauge to go to empty. And yet, do you empty your soul by failing to hear Jesus? And then wonder why your life and your service are so filled with distraction and with pride and with anxiety. Don't become dry and barren and slavish and empty. Be intentional about hearing Jesus. But I want to push a little harder. You need to be not only intentional about hearing Jesus, you need to be intelligent about hearing Jesus. I ask here, are you hearing Jesus? Because I know you're hearing something. You're hearing something. You live in a world of 24/7 information and interpretation. You can scroll through your news feed and through your social media feed, and you can find an endless supply of wisdom on any subject you want. Just in the last week or so, I discovered the final word on whether or not you should eat eggs. Now, the final word has changed about a half a dozen times in my adult lifetime, but the final word is that you should. So with everything and everyone you may hear, are you hearing Jesus? Or are you letting countless other voices offer you an endless stream of lesser information and interpretation? Are those voices reliable and trustworthy? Do they lead you toward what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise? Or do they rot your soul, either by stirring you to anger or fear, or by filling your mind with what is worthless and useless? Pastor Ian Duguid, Sam's dad, writes this: if we spent even half the passion on seeking God that we spend on seeking amusement, our lives would be far different from those of the people around us. Hear. Be intentional and intelligent about hearing Jesus. Shape your life to hear Jesus so that he may shape your heart and life as you do for him. Hear, then do. Why is the order important? When my kids were young, they enjoyed the stories of Thomas the Train. In one story, one of the trains is asked to pull a huge load up a steep hill, and the train chugs, and it pulls, and it strains to get the load up the hill, and then suddenly everything changes. The ride becomes smooth, and the train is roaring up the hill. But there's a problem. The trailing cars have become disconnected from the main car. You must hear and then do, because if you don't, your doing will be disconnected from Jesus. Think again of Martha's struggles. She becomes distracted. She is so busy doing what she is doing that she loses all perspective on why she is doing what she is doing. And she is there to serve Jesus, and this is good. But instead of serving Jesus with love and with joy, she serves him with a grumbling spirit because she is busy doing and doing and doing without recalling why she's doing and doing and doing. She becomes proud. Surely she is doing good things, but as she thinks more and more about the good things she's doing, she forgets the reason for doing them. She looks down on Mary, and she asks Jesus to straighten out Mary. Her service becomes proud service, and her heart moves towards self-pity because she isn't receiving the help she thinks she deserves. And she becomes anxious. With all of her distraction and her pride, her service seems to take on a fever pitch. You can imagine, can't you? You can imagine her working harder and harder, faster and faster, maybe louder and louder, bang, bang, bang in the kitchen. She's doing all right, but she's not doing it right. Her service is drudgery, not delight. Instead of bringing pleasure to Jesus, she brings trouble to Jesus. Can you relate? I think we all can. Imagine you're doing a job around your house. It's a good job to do, and you begin with good intentions and hope for a good outcome. And then something goes wrong, but you soldier on. And you overcome the obstacles and you begin to build some momentum. And then someone else in your household either gets in your way or stays away. And you wish they would help you instead of hindering you. And then you fall behind again for some reason. And you begin to rush. And you do this and that and this and that. And before you know it, you're angry at the people around you. You're angry at God for how poorly the day is going. And maybe you're angry at yourself for being so angry about it all. And you have totally lost sight of why you're doing what you're doing. Or imagine you're doing an act of service for the church. This is kingdom work. And you want to do it well. Perhaps you get tangled in a web of committees and decision makers. Maybe you believe others aren't supporting you the way you should be supported. You have ups and downs, but you stick with it because you're determined to do what you're supposed to do. And yet you eventually become obsessed with getting it done, and you're not so nice to anyone who gets in your way. It becomes evident to all that the job has become about you. Not Jesus. You've lost sight of why you're doing what you're doing. Listen again to Charles Spurgeon's wisdom about Martha. Her fault was not that she served. The condition of a servant well becomes every Christian. Her fault was that she grew cumbered with much serving so that she forgot Jesus and only remembered the service. Here. Then do. Hear Jesus every day and always, because you don't want your love for Jesus to become disconnected from the work you're doing. You hear first so that your heart may be filled and fueled for working in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. You want to do what Jesus wants you to do, and you want to do it in the way Jesus wants you to do it. So you hear him first and always, and then you do whatever he wants you to do. There's a pastor named Douglas McCollum. He wrote a few years ago about marriage. And he said, you know, if you've been married for 5 minutes
or 50 years, you are still married. You're not barely married after 5 minutes and fully married after 50 years. But if you've been married for 50 years, hopefully your marriage is better and stronger than when it was when you were married for 5 minutes. Why? Because you hopefully have made the effort to strengthen that marriage throughout those 50 years. With all the effort you've expended, your 50-year marriage now bears fruit it could never have produced after 5 years of marriage. And in the same way, if you are in union with Jesus through his life and his death and his resurrection, your union is secure after 5 minutes in the same way that it will be secure after 50 years. Jesus unites you to himself by his grace. He has lived without sin. He has died for your sins. He has risen from the dead to unite you with himself forever. And Jesus never gives up on what he starts. And yet, hopefully, the depth of your relationship with him will grow after those 50 years. As you hear Jesus, by submitting to him and by depending on him, you become strongly united to his heart. More and more, distraction gives way to a focus on serving Jesus. More and more, pride gives way to humbly serving Jesus and others. More and more, anxiety gives way to calmly and faithfully serving Jesus. Pastor McCallum writes, "The more we commune with him, the more we abide in him, the greater and richer our fruit will be." Hear and do. Martha does well. Mary does well. Yet Mary has chosen a good portion because Mary has chosen to hear and then do. And this is the rhythm of our journey with Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus every day in private, every week in public, for all the days and the weeks and the months and the years that the Lord gives you in this life. Slowly but surely, sitting at his feet will shape your heart in your life. And then as you do, whatever you do through all those days and weeks and months and years, you will bear great and rich fruit for his glory. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, are there any in this room this morning who do not know you? May they submit to your lordship. May they take you as Savior. For those of us who know you, help us to hear Jesus. Help us to do for Jesus. Help us to bear fruit for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.